This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
303 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. I'm excited. We got a lot that we have to talk about. Clearly, tomorrow evening is the big debate. Well, there's that debate, too, the Trump-Harris debate. Heidi and I have been having this debate about duck versus chicken, because today is my birthday, and we're trying to figure out exactly what dinner should be. But I suppose more people will be paying attention to the debate tomorrow. That's okay. There's a lot that we have to analyze as we get ready for that debate, including the fact that proud uber-leftist Democrats who are now just thrilled that they are standing with Dick Cheney. Let this just sink into your souls for a second. For the last 20 years, the leftists, the Democrats, the progressives, call them whatever you want, have told us that Dick Cheney is a war criminal. He has blood on his hands. What an evil rat. He endorsed Kamala. Yeah. Oh, very cool. So I'm just telling you right now, you're voting for Kamala Harris. You're voting for Dick Cheney. How cool is that? I just think it's bat crap crazy, but it is what it is. George W. Bush, you remember him, president of the United States for a few years. He has said he's not actually supporting either candidate. Interesting. You know why all this is happening? Because Donald Trump doesn't pull any punches, and Donald Trump is not part of the swamp, and Donald Trump says we should not really actually be involved in a million different wars. That's why. Is it possible that all the things they said about Dick Cheney for the last 20 years, that there might be a shred of truth in some of them? But does this not expose how crass and devoid of honor and dignity and strength and integrity all of these people are? You want to talk about the flipping uniparty, man. So you've got Dick Cheney and Kamala Harris. What an amazing team. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you that Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us. Looking forward to chatting with him. Wednesday, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is going to be here. We're going to analyze, you know, that other debate, which I know. I would pick duck as well, but duck is my favorite of all the foods out there. It is. I love it. If I could eat Peking duck every single day for the rest of my life, I would be happy. My cardiologist, I'd have to get a cardiologist. They would be thrilled as well. Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, retired, will be with us at 4:03 this afternoon. Sort of a pregame, a little look ahead at that debate. Now, you know, coming up in October, we've got Politics and Pints. Politics and Pints, once again, going to be down at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. And I would urge you as strongly as I possibly can to jump online right now and get yourself some tickets for Politics and Pints. I know we've got general admission left. I think we've already sold out all of the VIP things. Hey, we all try to warn people. You notice that? And it's always the same. This is the fifth year that we've done it. I don't know how many times we've actually done it. Germ, you actually kept count of this, right? Is it 8 or 9 or whatever it is? We've done it more than a few times. And what we see each time we do it, the crowds are, this is the 8th edition. Yeah, the crowds get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we have to keep finding bigger and bigger venues. And we have a little special thing here, special thing there. We do this VIP thing with special seating and a nice meet and greet behind the scenes. And, well, people always say, Richmond is a walk-up town. That's what I've learned over the years. For concerts, for events, for any sort of events, we have a reputation as a market that will buy their tickets at the door. And so people are always thinking, well, you know, Jeff is a pain in the rear end. Go to WRVA.com, click on the button, get your ticket. I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to walk up. We never sell tickets at the door. We haven't sold tickets at the door for any of these, and we're not starting with this one. So if you want to join us, I'm telling you, WRVA.com is the only way to get your tickets. It's me. It's John Reed, who may or may not by that time have announced that he's running for lieutenant governor, because it's October the 16th. I don't know exactly when the sort of a drop-dead date is, right? There is. There's got to be a date where you've got to start, I would guess, getting signatures on petitions and legitimately raising money for a campaign. And as you know, I'm not running for anything, so I don't have any intimate knowledge on that. But who knows? Maybe by October 16th, John will have announced that he is running. Or, this would be cool, maybe John will announce at Politics and Pints that he is running. Either way, I will be very, very happy and proud to support him, endorse him, not that he's asking. And I would actually make a monetary contribution to his campaign. Also coming in will be Brian Kilmeade, because Brian had a great time here last time we did, and I ran into him up in D.C. at our big talk radio conference up there, and he's excited about it. He, in all candor, he didn't know. He must have said yes, because he says yes to everything. And then I said, oh, well, we'll see you in October, right? And he goes, well, and then his assistant said, yes, you will. And he's like, yep, yes, you will. And Dana Lash, who you are listening to between noon and 3, is coming in for this as well. So it's going to be a great event. I will remind you, we've only got the general admission tickets left, but that's okay. There's not a bad seat in the house at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell. That's why it's been such a great theater for, what, almost 100 years? October the 16th, it's a Wednesday. Everything kicks off right around 6 o'clock, and we will look forward to seeing you there. This Wednesday, believe it or not, is the 23rd anniversary of the September 11th attacks. And we will have a very special sort of commemoration. We'll share some stories where we're pulling some of the sound clips from that day, and some of them we'll use, some of them I got to tell you something weird. As much as I love what I do, right, and I'm like a radio guy through and through, and push comes to shove, I consider myself more of a I'm like a troubadour, like a latter-day troubadour. You know, I tell stories. Just tell people about stuff. Old-time town crier kind of thing. But with a really sparkling sense of humor and an unbelievably handsome profile. But one of the things that I have to do is relive things. So like September the 11th, as we get ready for it, as I say to Jeremy, hey, here's 96,000 little pieces of sound we can play, and here's the stories we should share. And you know, we've got time limitations, and we have other sort of technical limitations. And I have to go through and through and through and clip stuff. And so I've been reliving, if you will, September the 11th, 2001 now, for the last couple of weeks trying to put all of this stuff together. But you and I will chat about it on Wednesday. And I would dare say that Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who's scheduled to be with us on Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about the debate, but, you know, she's a New Yorker. She has one or two or three stories, I'm sure, that she will be willing to share with us. And Jimmy Galliano, right? Yeah, Jimmy Galliano will be here on Wednesday because he was a first responder. You know, he's a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. But on September the 11th, 2001, he was on active duty. He was a special agent with the FBI. I don't know if he was supervisory at that point or not. But make no mistake, those guys kicked it into high gear And we've actually lost a number of FBI agents through the years. A number of folks who responded to Ground Zero. They got cancer from all of the chemicals, all of the noxious fumes. And we have lost many of them. We sometimes lose sight of that because we talk about things like New York City Fire Department, 343 line of duty deaths that day. It's horrible to think about, I know, but that's the fact. It's a huge number. 37 deaths for the Port Authority Police Department of New York and New Jersey, the largest single day law enforcement line of duty death situation in history.
So this show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Those are big numbers. But then you have to think about the people who passed long after that and suffered for years after because they were simply trying to do the right thing, get to where help was needed. Let me share with you our Chronic Care of Richmond text line. And it always gives me the opportunity to salute Chronic Care of Richmond. Those are my friends, Dr. Brian Snyder, his lovely bride Janine, the whole team over there. Great people. I'm a patient over at Chronic Care. Yeah, they're great, great folks. And they are once again presenting Politics and Pints because they're great people. But they also sponsor our text line. Why? Because they're great people. 833-804-1148. 833-804-1140. You send us a text. I'll take a look at it. Some of the text we'll share on the air, and some of the text, no, not so much. You know, it is what it is. 757 says, hey, Jeff, what about George Bush? Think about it. He will side with the Democrats. George W. Bush is just like Dick Cheney. No good for nothing. They hate Trump. Well, I do believe that they don't like Trump. And part of the reason that that crowd does not like Donald Trump is that Donald Trump doesn't need them. Donald Trump doesn't need any of this. That's the thing that I always come back to. It's a reason that I did not believe back in 2015, 2016 that he was really running. Because I just kept asking myself, well, why does he need to run? What is he, you know, why? He's got more money than he's ever going to spend. He has been able financially to set up his kids, his grandchildren, right? So he doesn't need to make more money. He's about as famous as you get. Successful in most parts of his life in terms of business and writing and television. Why does he need to do this? And then it did occur to me. He doesn't need it. He never needed it. He's doing it because it needs to be done. Think about it. All right, we got a lot of great stuff as we move through the afternoon. Dr. Andrew Bostom's going to be with us at 3:33. There is a very, very, very disturbing spike in anti-Semitism on college campuses. We're seeing it right at VCU, for goodness sakes. You got some wackadoodle professor down there leading walkouts and closing down classes. I'll tell you what, you close down a class for any reason other than you are really, really ill or you have scheduled it ahead of time, you know what they ought to do? They just fire them. Fire her rear end. That's all. Bye. Good. See you later. Pack your stuff. You can't do that. Those students have paid money. And many of those students are receiving financial aid, which means I paid money for them. Nonsense. Anyway. Dr. Boston will be with us at 3:33. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. Yeah, I know it's not exactly exciting that it's Monday, but it is my birthday, so I'm a little happier about it being Monday. I got a cake, which was delivered from Laura Sylvester and her husband, Dave. Laura is someone that I'd like to say I discovered, but I just became aware of. Other people had discovered her long before I did, the Pie Safe Baking Company. And she has become our go-to baker, I'm telling you, for anything and everything. The holiday events and birthdays. And so I am so excited. She is trying with this cake. I just want to let you know, I'm taking a moment of personal privilege, as they say in Congress. She is trying to recreate my mom's chocolate chip cake. I love my mom's chocolate chip cake, and I have not had it since my mom passed away. And Laura had reached out and said, well, you know, I'd love to do a birthday cake for you. And I said, oh, well, that'd be great. What would you like? And I told her, she says, oh, my gosh, you know, my mom also did a chocolate chip cake. So we're fingers are crossed. I'm going to try it, and I'll post some photos, and I know it's going to be delicious. So I'm looking forward to that. Tomorrow, I'm looking forward to Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us tomorrow afternoon at 3:35 on Wednesday, which is going to be not only the day after the debate, but it's going to be September the 11th. We're going to talk about 23 years ago what happened as we saw these brutal, ugly terrorist attacks, slaughter of just about 3,000 innocent people. We will be joined by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. We'll talk about the debate, and also Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, who was pressed into service at Ground Zero. So we'll chat about all of that. You know, the other guy in our area, I just want to give you the heads up, Carl Leonard, the sheriff of Chesterfield County, who has been part of the United States Coast Guard for 25 years, I think. He was also pressed into service immediately at Ground Zero. So we're going to try and chat with Carl as well. All right. We have been looking at VCU, and we'll be looking at UVA, where we have these unbelievably ugly growths of anti-Semitic activity. And, you know, we chat with Dr. Andrew Bostom on a fairly regular basis. Every few weeks or so, he writes another 10,000-page piece. It's amazing. He's a brilliant guy. And we bring him in to look at it. He's got something right now about this, his phrase, the taboo pandemic of Jew hate. Dr. Bostom, good to have you with us again, sir.
Good to be with you, Jeff, and have a very happy birthday. I hope it's going well.
It is. It is. It's going well. Just got better because I am chatting with you, and you got some interesting stuff here. So we have been looking at growing anti-Semitism locally at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and UVA, University of Virginia. But you are seeing it all over the country, correct?
Yes, yes. You know, and the perverse irony of this is that it mushroomed these anti-Semitic incidents on campus, you know, as well as across the country, but particularly on campus, mushroomed in the aftermath of October 7th. In other words, the carnage itself did not garner sympathy in a real sense on the campuses. It spawned these, you know, looks to be somewhat coordinated anti-Semitic incidents on campus. But according to the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League was a clearinghouse for this, at least one of them. And they reported, in the first 3 months after October 7th, just to give you the raw numbers, Jeff, they reported 400 anti-Semitic incidents on college and university campuses, compared to only 33 instances in the same period, the same 3 month period, you know, from October 7th, 2022 to December 7th, 2022.
Okay.
In 2023, that grew by almost 12-fold. Oh. And as you know, the Columbia, which has long had incitement from both its DEI trained professors and, yep, and frankly its Muslim professors, has been a hub of campus Jew hatred, and this persisted into the spring. If you remember, Columbia was forced to cancel its main commencement ceremonies, and there were a lot of outbreaks you know, through the spring into the graduation ceremonies. And so I was looking at some polling data that reflected back to the spring, and some of it's been out for a little while. Large numbers of Jewish students concealed their identity. In a poll, that was about 44%. 78% avoided certain campus events or locations or events on campuses. And then 55% had experienced physical threats or knew of someone who had. And so these polls were capturing, obviously, a significant uptake in hateful activity, but they gave no information in terms of what might be animating this. And people have pushed very hard about diversity, equity, inclusion, and I think that does contribute. Mm-hmm. But anecdotally, you could see that particularly the violent attacks, you have to be frank about it and clear from just what was, you know, the film you could see. They were often from Muslim students or Muslim infiltrators onto campus. And then I saw 2 weeks ago these very courageous investigators from Brandeis, which has its own issues. It's a very left-leaning campus. But it still has a strong Jewish studies department. These investigators, I guess they tapped into a large database that's pre-existing about college campus attitudes, and they used that that organization that maintains this database to administer a very simple questionnaire, Jeff. It looked very much like the ADL survey data that I've been studying for close to 20 years now. Similar questions, just to give you a few of them. Okay. This wound up being administered to 4,123 students, 313 of whom were Jewish, just to give you a sense that these they were targeting campuses that had sizable Jewish populations. But the focus of the study was on the non-Jewish respondents, and that was a little over 3,800. Okay. And they asked them questions like, do you agree with or believe that Jews in America have too much power? That Jews should be held accountable for Israel's actions. Jewish people talk about the Holocaust just to further a political goal. That other questions were more pointed. I wouldn't want to be friends with someone who supports the existence of Israel as a Jewish state, et cetera, et cetera. There were nine such questions to pretty straightforwardly get an anti-Semitic attitudes.
Yeah.
And the authors concluded that on a positive note, that there wasn't what they called a climate of universal anti-Jewish hatred. However, they felt that the student concerns about anti-Semitism were valid, and they were driven, quote, by what they said of about a third of students who held distinct patterns of beliefs about Jews and Israel. And in their own summary, they said, identifying as Muslim was significantly associated with being either hostile to Israel or hostile to Jews, even after controlling for other factors. So they looked at all the other contributors to anti-Semitism, potentially, demographic factors, et cetera. And then what jumped out at me, because it was remarkably consistent with data that I've been writing about and seen published by the ADL for the past two decades, when they compared as a referent population, as a control population, Christians, for example, right, Muslims were 2.6-fold more likely to harbor the most virulent anti-Semitism. That would be, in this survey, what they defined as a shared hostility to both Israel and Jews. And the reason that this jumped out at me is because, first of all, it kind of confirms.
Yeah.
This sort of unspoken reality, just looking at the news footage or independent videos that were, particularly when you saw outbursts of violence.
Right.
But moreover, you know, as we've talked about several times before, Jeff, this is the global pattern. Mm-hmm. In other words, wherever you look, certainly if you go to the Middle East and North Africa, you find there, according to the ADL survey, and remember, the ADL survey is very straightforward. It's 11 anti-Semitic stereotypes. If you agree with at least six, so if you agree with the majority of them or all of them, you're defined as an extreme anti-Semite. And when they apply this survey scale this definition, the 16 most anti-Semitic countries in the world, you know, not surprisingly, are all in the Middle East and North Africa,
yeah.
where the low of this degree of anti-Semitism is anywhere from 74% in Egypt and Saudi Arabia to a high of 93%, again, not surprisingly, amongst the Palestinian Muslims. And ADL has applied this across Western Europe, in the United States, about 2014. And everywhere they've looked, and they've done it repeatedly in Europe, the range is about 2 to 4-fold in terms of comparing the excess commonality of this degree of anti-Semitism, comparing Muslims to Christians or other or non-Muslims in general. And so this 2.6-fold relative, you know, risk is right in that range. In other words, it's remarkably consistent with what ADL has reported independently across the world. So to me, it's very unfortunate confirmation that I think what is, I think appropriately, I don't think it's hysterical to say that this is a pandemic. It's reached our campuses. It's reached American campuses, and it's something that needs to be discussed because we're not going to be able to hide from it. And yes, we can talk a lot about DEI, and I personally believe DEI may inflame some of this. But I think it's now time to also look. You know, I just found one example of this.
Yeah, let me cut you off for 1 second. Dr. Andrew Bostom is joining us. So here's where we wind up with this. We look at these numbers. We analyze these numbers. We are all, I would dare say, probably universally appalled by what we're seeing in this systematic growth of anti-Semitism, and we see this group as opposed to that group. But you know what happens? It's when push comes to shove, the question to you, Doc, is, so what do we do?
Right. Well, this is what I was thinking about in terms of, you know, what I've concluded about, you know, all the other avenues where this is seen, including in the United States, is that there was one example. He's no longer at the University of Pennsylvania, but I did happen to see that a very anti-Semitic sermon given by an imam in California, he was the former Muslim chaplain at the University of Pennsylvania. Oh. And so Lord only knows what he was saying, because usually when they're on campus, they tend to be a little more discreet.
Right.
They will not give such an inflammatory sermon where it could be recorded, etc. But Lord only knows what they say to Muslim students privately, and you know. So I think the search has to begin there.
Okay.
There are Muslim organizations on campus that have direct connections, you know, to the Muslim Brotherhood, to Hamas,
right,
etc. You know, what type of literature are they distributing? What type of lecturing are they giving? You know, some of this becomes dicey, Jeff, because a lot of it may be done in private. But I think that we also it's part and parcel, I think, of what happens in mosques across the United States. And in the major Islamic teaching institutions that are very mainstream in the Middle East itself, and the imams that are trained, for example, at Al-Azhar University, and they fan out across the world. In other words, this is just yet another example of the widespread nature of this anti-Semitism that's coming from the Muslim community, and we have to begin to talk about it and then go further. Because I believe very strongly, having studied this now for 20 years, that a lot of it is religiously inspired. Of course, there's politics involved too, but you know, it's very hard for Americans to fathom these anti-Semitic themes that are given in the course of what would be routine sermons, particularly on Fridays.
So
we would find it difficult to discern.
Yeah, no, it is extremely difficult. So here's what I want to do. I mean, we always love having you on, and we always run out of time. Do me a favor, Doc. Remind everybody where they can read some of the things you have written. Remember, this is Dr. Andrew Bostom, a medical doctor by training, by profession, and has devoted, as he says, 20 years plus to looking at the growth of anti-Semitism around the world. But, Doc, what's the best website for people to check your stuff out?
So most of it, I'm very active on Twitter. So at Andrew Bostom is really where you can find everything that I'm doing, you know, almost, you know, day by day, moment by moment.
Okay.
And then this piece in particular that we're discussing, I wrote for something called the Gatestone Institute. I have several pieces that I've written over the last 6 months for them, so people can find some of those pieces there. And then my website, often includes, you know, most of the material that I'm working on, and that's just andrewbostom.org.
All right. Well, listen, I always appreciate you being here. That is Dr. Andrew Bostom. Always interesting insight. I mean, my gosh, your kids and my kids are on campuses as we speak. Your kids might be at VCU. They might be at UVA. They might be at any one of these college campuses where we are seeing so much growing anti-Semitism. And you just need to be aware of that. Jesse Jane Duff, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps retired, is going to join us at 4:03. A little look ahead at tomorrow night's debate between the former president and the current vice president. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:54, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Thank you. I swear to you, Jeremy has made all of these choices on music today, as he does each and every day. So apparently you will be reminded that it is my birthday. So thank you. I do appreciate that. Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff is going to be with us right after the 4 o'clock update here. We'll talk a little bit about what we could or should expect from the debate tomorrow night. And Jerm, I got to call an audible on you here. Bernie Sanders has a statement that he said, hey, listen, Kamala Harris is just changing her position on these things because she wants to be elected, but not to worry. You know, she still believes what she's always believed. Do me a favor, just track that down, would you? I don't think I actually sent that to you, because I want people to hear this. You and I are sitting here saying, oh, well, ABC News, that Jonathan Carl, what a hack he is, said she's moderated on things. She's, you know, she's evolved in her positions. Uh-huh. So it's all good. Except then you got somebody like Bernie Sanders, who has been a hardcore socialist his entire adult life. If nothing else, you have to actually give him credit for not sugarcoating his garbage when he was trying to peddle his garbage. Now Kamala Harris is on board with the garbage, but she's really engaged in the sugarcoating. There's like a big old bag of sugar, trying to make it a little bit sweeter as the socialist medicine goes down, and it ain't going to happen. And Bernie Sanders, of all people, lumbered accidentally, inadvertently, uncontrollably into the truth when he tried to reassure his fellow communists, hey, don't worry, she's still on our side. She's just lying to the rest of America to get elected. Man. Hey, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my friend John Reed is going to be here. Please make sure that you are tuned in to John's program. Get there as early as possible. Really, starting right at 6 a.m. You've got wonderful news updates with my buddy Gary Hess, and then right into John's show. You really need to be listening to that. You got a couple of moments here. I would urge you to jump online, WRBA.com. Get your tickets for Politics and Pints October 16th at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell before they are all gone. 3:58, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.